Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I want to look at a portion of Scripture this morning that I believe is a little bit shocking. If you have never seen this before, I believe you will find it to be very eye-opening. The gospel is good news for sinners. That's who the gospel is to. Sinners. So I always have good news for sinners. As we go through this word and preach this word, we always hear good news for sinners. But this morning, I even have good news for those who are religious. Now, I almost never have good news for those who claim to merely be religious, but I do this morning. Now, to any soul who has worked the good works of morality, done the things they ought to do, abstained from the things that they shouldn't do, to any soul who has given himself or given herself to the church, remained faithful, faithful to your spouse, faithful to your children, diligently led your children in the right way. To any soul who has given his or her time and money to promoting Christianity, any soul that has accepted Jesus as his or her personal Savior, any soul who has witnessed to others that he or she has indeed accepted Jesus to be his personal Savior, to any soul who can honestly say, I am religious, I'm religious. Well, this morning I have good news for you. You only lack one thing. You're only one thing away from salvation. And our Lord is about to tell us what that one thing is. Now, if you'll look with me here at Mark 10, verse 17, it says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asking him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth." This man was religious. He said, "All these have I observed from my youth, since I was a child, all the way up." And I will say that's a good thing. Knowing God's commandments and following God's commandments, that will spare a person from a lot of heartache in this life. If we commit adultery, we need to expect heartache around the corner. If we kill, we need to expect to be punished for it. Stealing, lying, defrauding, it never ends well. Never. If we don't honor our father and our mother, then we need to either expect a spanking from them or a spanking from God. One of the two. So I do want to seriously encourage every single one of us to obey and observe God's commandments from our youth up. This man was a moral man. You could trust this man, and that's a good thing. If you'll look with me over at Luke 18, Luke's account, this is the same account, and Luke tells us here in Luke 18, verse 18, a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" This man was a ruler. A certain ruler. What that means is he was a ruler in the synagogue. He was not just a religious man, he was a preacher. He was a preacher, a ruler in the synagogue. And Paul told Timothy, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. This man worked, and he worked hard. Look at the end of verse 23 right here in Luke 18. It says, he was very rich. You don't get that way by being lazy. In every way, shape, and form, this man could be respected. He was an honest, sincere, hard-working, religious man. And if that describes you, then I have wonderful news for you this morning. Look with me back over in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. When our Lord was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth up." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And in this man's case, verse 22 says, he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He was very rich. Now, we are all sinners. We are all sinners. We just are. The Scripture says, all have sinned. Right here in verse 18, our Lord said to this man, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one," and that's God. So we're all sinners. And if a sinner is banking on his or her religion, his or her morality, his or her good deeds, good works, obedience to the Scriptures, if religion is what a sinner is banking on to inherit eternal life, in order for that sinner to receive eternal life, our Lord said, one last thing has to be done. That sinner has to get rid of everything. All of those things. Verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." Now, if this man had come to the Lord and asked him, What must I do that I might inherit eternal life? And if the Lord had given him a list of 1,000 things, or 10,000 things, or 100,000 things, that would have been terrible. That would have been bad news. But the good news is, he said, it's one thing. You have to take everything you have and get rid of it. It's either everything I have or Christ. One of the two. Everything I have, everything you have, or Christ. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew 6, verse 19, our Lord said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," the riches of the flesh. It's either the things that this flesh possesses, or it's Christ. It can't be both. And if we lack this final thing that He's commanding us, we lack it all. Even if we have every other thing right, without this final thing, we cannot inherit eternal life. Now, somebody might hear this and say, "Well, okay, let's see. I guess I could sell my house, and I could sell my car and my furniture and my jewelry and my clothes and things like that. And I guess I could empty my bank account and sell my stocks and my retirement accounts. And I'm sure there's a few other things that I'm not thinking of right now. I guess I could do all that." You know, the truth of the matter is, that's exactly how our Lord lived. He didn't own a house. He didn't own a car, a horse, or a camel. He didn't own jewelry. He didn't even carry a change of clothes with him. But that is not what our Lord is talking about right here. Not at all. Please listen to what our Lord is saying. Come the end of this message, if that's what we take from this, we have missed it. Our Lord is not saying you have to go sell your house, sell your car, empty your bank accounts, and end up living in a gutter. Our Lord is not saying that. That is not the riches that He is talking about. If any soul who is in the religion of the flesh, the worship of the flesh, if any soul wants to see the final thing that must be done, turn with me over to Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians 3, verse 4, the Apostle Paul said, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day." Saul of Tarsus could say that was taken care of from my youth up, from the eighth day up. Verse 5, "circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law." What did our Lord say in the text? He said, "Don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." The Apostle Paul said, "As touching the law, I was a Pharisee." All those things I kept from my youth up. Verse 6, he said, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Verse 7, he said, But Paul is about to tell us there was one thing he lacked. He said, but what things were gain to me? Those things that were riches to me, those things that I thought I could give to God, those things that I thought God saw value in, my religious works, he said, I had to get rid of them. I had to count all those things loss in order to obtain Christ. Verse 8, he said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That is the only way a sinner can inherit eternal life. God must put that sinner in Christ. That sinner must be conformable unto His death. What that means is a sinner must die in Him. When He died, that sinner died. When He was buried, that sinner was buried. All of God's punishment on the sinner for his sins was taken out on Christ. And that sinner suffered that punishment in Christ. And then when Christ arose, that sinner arose. And that's it. All works excluded, the blood of Christ alone, the work of Christ alone. That's it. Every soul who is following the works of religion in order to inherit eternal life must understand that there's one thing he lacks. He must take everything that the works of this flesh has tried to accomplish. Everything the works of this flesh has tried to attain, and he must get rid of it. He must count it all dung if he or she wants to win Christ and be found in Him. You know, a man may not be rich in his bank account. A man may not have anything. He can still be rich in the pride of his own flesh, I'll tell you that. A man may not have a ton of things sitting around his house, but he can still have a ton of self-righteous works sitting around his heart, sitting around his mind. Paul said in verse 7, what things were gain to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. He said, I counted all loss. I counted all dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Now, God's people do have a heart to obey God. They do. Obey His law. But God's people are not resting on that to inherit eternal life. God's people do have a heart that believes God. But we don't even rest on our own faith. We're resting on the blood of Jesus Christ alone. Outside of that, everything else has to go. Everything else has to go. Back over in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." You get rid of everything and take up the cross. Lay hold of the cross of Jesus Christ. Somebody in religion will say, "Well, yeah, I've got my morality, though." Throw it out. Let me tell you, morality is a wonderful thing. I wish this world was a more moral place. I do. I love men and women who are moral. They have some morals about it. But when it comes to inheriting eternal life, when it comes to what God will accept, throw that out. A man might say, "Well, I've got my zeal now. I've got that good zeal for good works." Throw it out. I personally love a zeal for good works, but God will not accept it as a payment for sin, and we've all sinned. The only thing God will accept is the blood of Jesus Christ. We must throw our own zeal for good works out. A man might say, "Well, now I've got my faithfulness to the church now, and I've got my faith. I've been faithful to my wife since we've been married, faithful to my children." Throw it out. Throw it out. And I'm going to tell you something that is shocking, but it's true, and it needs to be said because we need to understand this. Hell is a horrible place, but hell is full of good churchgoers, full of good husbands, full of good fathers who were clinging to their own personal goodness and not the blood of Christ. They lacked one thing, and without that one thing, their goodness could not save them. That's the truth. That is the truth. Somebody will say, "Well, at least I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior." Throw that out. Don't hold to your acceptance of anything. If I can accept Him, I can reject Him. And I'm fickle, and so is every man and woman on this earth. The only thing we can hold to is the blood of Jesus Christ, the accomplishment of Jesus Christ on that cross. Let's take everything we have, everything we consider to be a righteousness before God, and let's all cry out in acknowledgement to Him that all of it put together is nothing more than a filthy rag. Let's count it all dung that we might win Christ and be found in Him. Now, verse 21 says, "Jesus, beholding him, loved him." There's no proof of this, but it is believed by many that this rich young ruler was Saul of Tarsus. And if indeed it was Saul of Tarsus, then we know what the result was of that love that God had toward him. God had mercy on him. But whoever this was, it doesn't matter if it was Saul or not. Whoever it was, God's Word mercifully says, "Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." And that's not only what the Lord did for this man here in the text. That's what the Lord did for this man behind the microphone this morning. And the Lord is able to do it again. And He's able to do it again and again and again. Verse 23 says, "And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto His disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" The riches of this flesh. The riches of the works of this flesh. Verse 24, "And the disciples were astonished at His words. But Jesus answereth again, and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches?" And we could substitute for the word riches anything but Christ. How hard is it for them that trust in anything but Christ to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, rich in his own efforts, rich in his own self-worth. Verse 26 says, "And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, 'Who then can be saved?' And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, 'With men it is impossible.'" It's impossible. That's why we throw everything out. It'll do us no good. It's impossible. It's not just hard. It's actually impossible. "With men it is impossible," he said, "but not with God. For with God all things are possible." That's why we come to Christ. That's why we take up the cross and follow Him. It's because with God all things are possible. With the blood that God shed on Calvary's tree, not only is it possible, it's certain. It's ordered. It's sure. Verse 28 says, "Then Peter began to say unto him, 'Lo, we have left all and have followed thee.'" And I believe from a spiritual standpoint, all who have been caused by God's grace to put all their trust in the blood of Christ can say the same thing. We've left all and have followed thee. We're holding on to nothing but Christ. Verse 29, "And Jesus answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, there's no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mother and children, lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first." The truth is, a sinner does not lose anything in Christ. Nothing. To let go of everything and to lay hold of Christ is to actually gain all things. Just like this man here, people come in religion asking, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" But when the gospel comes to them, they find out what Christ has already done that they might inherit eternal life. Christ gave up all that he had, and he gave it to poor and needy sinners. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Outside of that right there, the riches of his grace, the riches of His mercy, the riches of His blood, outside of all the riches that are in Christ, let's throw everything else away. Let's all come to the Christ of the cross, and let's follow Him. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.